Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Bravo, macht Tempo, wartet auf Harte. Zwanke kommt und jetzt ist es Klos. Also Arminia Bielefeld.
Penny, 2-0. 2-0 für den FC St. Pauli.
Diese
Flanke, Tor, nächster Treffer.
Ist heuer Fernandes mit vorne. Ja klar ist er mit vorne. Kittel mit der Ecke, Feuerball und da!
Hello and welcome to the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. Match day one is finally in the books. The first day of school has ended and we saw a ton of goals, some interesting results and so much more. It's been an incredible weekend of football and we look forward for the next 60 minutes or so to get you up to speed with everything that happened in the Zweite Bundesliga. As always, co-hosting alongside me to discuss all the action from the Zweite Bundesliga is the one and only Eva Lotta Baller. Eva, good morning. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. I mean, only when it comes to my health, when it comes to Zweite Bundesliga, I mean, I never had the feeling before. I just wanted to take my prediction table and just throw it in the bin after that weekend. And I mean, now everyone can be witness on how bad I am in predicting this league in this kicktip group that we created to start off there. Thanks for everyone who has signed up for that. Amazing, over 40 people have signed up. And as I mentioned before, they can bear witness on how bad I am. Really want to start off. Our winner or our table leader is Henry Suarez with 16 points. Really, really good job there. And, well, I mean, we will see how it will look like at the end of the season.
Yes, of course, the kick tip. And that's part of the fun with the Zweite Bundesliga is it doesn't really matter how right or wrong you are. It's all about the fun factor. And before we get started, we wanted to thank everyone who listened to our preview episode. Over 1,100 listens. That is the best episode we've ever had. We are so grateful to have such a great community of followers and people listening to the podcast, and we hope that you'll stick with us for the entirety of the season. It is built up to be a genuine corker, as was the opening game of the season. That was Schalke 04 and Hamburger SV, and the Royal Blues got off to the perfect start. Simon Terodde, against one of his many former clubs that he'll play this season, opened the scoring to give the Royal Blues the lead, but Hamburg very much wrestled the ascendancy, dominating possession, and they won a penalty midway through the first half. However, Robert Glatzel in his Hamburg debut, unable to convert the penalty, brilliantly saved by Michel Langer, but it was all Hamburg in the second half. Glatzel would get his goal, Moritz Heyer, 4 minutes before time, and then on the 90, Bakary Yatta signed, sealed, and delivered a Hamburg 3-point win. And Eva, it was really the perfect start to Tim Walter's tenure at Hamburg.
Yeah, I mean, as you've mentioned, it was especially the second half where they really put on a show, you could say. Had something to do that Schalke was too passive as well, in my opinion. And also because Daniel Hoyer Fernandes was amazing in goal. I mean, it seems like that one year where he was in number one, but Sven Ulreich was really, pushed his eager to change something in the way he performs. You had the feeling, because honestly, there was a reason HSV brought in Sven Ulreich for last season. Heuer Fernandes wasn't always the best goalkeeper, but in this game, he was really, really amazing. There were two or three scenes in this game where he really showed what he could do. That was good. And for Schalke, I did like Marius Bülter. He was actually my favorite player in that squad. He was, especially in the first half, he was probably one of their best players. But the problem was that sometimes you had the feeling him and Terodde didn't work together that well. Except that the 1-0 where Drexler's pressing was very well against HSV players. And I mean, probably Schalke's biggest loss in this game was Danny Latzar. That injury didn't look good at all. And I don't know about you, but I was a bit surprised they let him stay on for another 10 minutes or so. That's a very, very dangerous thing to do to a player's health. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, it was not a great decision, and it's proven to be a very costly one where you lose your club captain for 2 months, and when you are a team that is really made up of new parts and Latz is supposedly going to be the anchor in midfield, yeah, I mean, that's a really, really frustrating situation to have. And, you know, that it kind of summed it up towards the end where that sort of passiveness and that indecisiveness to make a decision really cost Schalke in the end. And that's, yeah, it's not the be all and end all, but it is going to be a massive loss for them. The game for Schalke was very reminiscent of the Euro final. And let me explain. Because when England scored the sucker punch goal with Luke Shaw, they immediately sat back, invited pressure, allowed Italy to dictate the game, and then Italy would score, then go on and obviously win in the shootout. Exactly what Schalke did. They scored, they sat back and defended a lot, they became very complacent, they give away the penalty, even though it was saved, and then obviously Hamburg completely dictated the entirety of the game, and, you know, not taking anything away from that Hamburg performance, but you know that Schalke need to play, be a bit more assertive with the ball. And we know possession isn't everything in football, but especially at home, you cannot be having, you know, less than 30%, even as we know Hamburg will be a promotion candidate. There is one pressing issue that we do want to discuss from what happened in the stands in this game, which was there were monkey noises directed at Hamburg player David Kinsombi. It's something that we don't condone whatsoever. It's that kind of behavior has no place in the game at all. And even it took a member of someone who was in the stands, a Schalke fan, to point that out. And now we're going to see an investigation.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's very, very important to call out racism in your own myths. Like, that's something we need in society, but also in football, because that it's what goes first. It's very important that it came from a Schalke fan who also put it out on Twitter. I mean, it's a shame that as soon as we have fans returning to the stands in Germany that this happens. But good thing that he went to I think it's called Steh auf, so some kind of place you can go to at Schalke if you have any sort of, if you hear racism, sexism, any kind of that. And you can go and tell them that. And I think it's a good thing that he did. Hopefully, first of all, those people are being found and they can work against that. And obviously that it doesn't happen again. Solidarity with David Kinsombi from us.
Absolutely. No place. It does not belong in our game. It doesn't belong in society at all. So, you know, really, really disappointing. There was an interesting stat to come out of this game before we move on to our next game. Is that Simon Terodde's goal was the first time since the 2010-2011 season where the team that has scored first in the Zweite Bundesliga season has gone on to lose. The team that was Rot-Weiss Oberhausen. They lost 3-2 at Hertha BSC. The goal scorer was Moses Limardi. Let's make a move then to Werder Bremen as they hosted Hanover with the first Saturday night kickoff. Of course, there are no Monday night games anymore. And this is the premier fixture. This is the real top Spieler fixture, not the one that they have in the Bundesliga that, you know, you get Bayern every time. So this was built up to be an extremely big game. Anfang's first game in charge of Bremen, Zimmermann in his first game in charge of Hanover. It ended one goal apiece. It took Simon Flett's own goal saw Bremen take the lead, and then shortly after, it was Marvin Ducksch who equalised. And very well could have had a hat-trick in this game. He had a number of great chances, but goalkeeper Michel Zetterer had a very, very good performance to keep the scores level. There's a lot to unpack from this game because I don't know how you feel about this either, but I wasn't particularly impressed with the way Bremen played, and they almost did something quite similar to what Schalke did. Very passive, and there wasn't really a desire to get forward and try and win the game. And it allowed Hanover to dictate the play, even if the possession stats do say otherwise.
Yeah, would fully agree with you. I mean, you had the feeling in the first half, Bremen was a bit more eager to score a goal, but their attempts were rather poor. I mean, and it's not really surprising. If you want to play, I mean, we talked about that in our preview. If you want to play Marcus Anfang football, you need to have the players for that. And Bremen doesn't have that. And if Frank Baumann says in the next week, so basically until the transfer window closes, Werder plans on 15 to 20 signing all players that will be leaving. I mean, I don't know. Do they know what preseason is for? It's like, of course, it's always like that. This is always what Zweite Bundesliga has to suffer a bit under, because normally they start before the transfer window closes. Sometimes that's good as well, because, for example, for Schalke, they can now quickly, if they want, find some kind of solution for the whole Danny Latzer situation, obviously. But at the same time, it's not there for you to say, okay, our squad will be there, I don't know, until match day 5, and which basically means half of a squad may leave or might leave, and another half of a squad will come in. That's just, I don't know what that's supposed to be saying about your club, but well, not a huge fan. And I mean, there was this one scene, I think it was still in the first half, after a really, really good work by Michael Zetterer in goal. Actually, he built up the play for Bremen very perfectly in that moment. But then Schmidt's attempt on a goal like really summed up Bremen's performance, especially in the second half. And actually, if we talk about Hannover, this was probably one of the best games the second half was one of the best halves I've seen from them for 1 or 2 years. And I know that Hannover fans would agree on that. And what I really liked, Jan Zimmermann in an interview after the game said that he wants a team with which the fans can identify with, and a team that causes fans to want to go to the stadium. But he says at the same time, this is a long way to go. And I really, really like that, because I think this is something that Hannover really, really lost in the last couple of years. A team that fans really want to see, and they just don't go just because it's tradition, but they actually are looking forward to see their team play. And I think that's something that Jan Zimmermann can definitely achieve if you just look at the first games. Obviously, as you've mentioned, Tuchel needs to score there. There are a couple of occasions where this is basically his job. But just from what we've seen on the weekend, I'm positive that we might see goals by or wins by the Hannover team very soon.
Yeah, I was super impressed with that second half, especially when they go a goal down, which, you know, unfortunate in the way it happened. They really just bossed that last half an hour. And, you know, if it wasn't for some good goalkeeping from Zetterer, you know, and Dux being a little bit more clinical in front of goal, Hannover take all 3 points. And we're really lauding how they were able to overcome the deficit. But definitely in terms of their team identity, you could see it developing as the game progressed, and you could see the kind of football Zimmermann really wants them to play, and it's exciting. They've you know, the foundation is slowly being built, and if they can build momentum when they play a Rostock in front of over 22,000 fans expected at the HDI Arena on Saturday, then they've got plenty of optimism and hope going forward. Couple of passing notes on Hanover before we move on. They've signed Julian Berner from Sheffield Wednesday on a free. Someone that, of course, a lot of Armenia Bielefeld fans will be quite familiar with. And maybe we should get some props to Ron Robert Zieler as well. He was pretty solid in goal for Hanover. A very, very good performance for him. And yeah, even though he didn't keep the clean sheet, I thought he was quite solid, considering there was a bit of an odd thought of why he was starting in goal over Martin Hansen. And our final Group 1 game is St. Pauli and Holstein Kiel. Two teams that were probably not expecting much, especially not St. Pauli. There was optimism on what they've been doing over the summer. Kiel, it's always hard when you don't win the playoff. That following season can be quite difficult. And they learnt the hard way. A 3-0 win for St. Pauli. And it started with an incredible goal by Lernt Pakarada, the Koshovan international, with a bolter to beat Ioannis Gelios. Then Daniel Kofi-Kidere got his first for the season as well. And then Guido Borgstaller in stoppage time. And don't know where you want to start either. Maybe you want to touch on St. Pauli. But that was a very, very positive display in attacking prowess. They should have had a fourth, but it was chalked off for offside. That was the bicycle kick from Kidere. And yeah, that was a good performance from them. They have some new pieces coming in. Medic was quite good at centre-back. And yeah, just Timo Schulz would have been absolutely delighted, as well as the St. Pauli fans in the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with you. And I mean, St. Pauli are the main reasons why I just want to take my table and throw it down the bin. Because I have to be honest, I didn't expect that from them. I thought you would see the loss of Marmoush and Salazar way more. But yeah, players like Kyrie, but also Becker, Ditgen, when he came in the second half, he was really, really good. His passes to the possible 3-0 by Kyrie, but also to the actual 3-0 to Burgstaller. They were brilliant. He has a very good side for his teammates. And yeah, Kiel's attempt to do anything in front of the goal were very poor. You could really see that players like Serra and Lee were definitely being missed. But also, probably Yannick Diem. And in some ways, their defense was lacking any kind of stability, in my opinion, throughout this game. And yeah, for St. Pauli, especially starting off this season at home with such a solid win and very just convincing win as well. I mean, we've seen teams, I mean, if we come to another team where I thought they weren't that convincing, in my opinion, to start off a new season with a new manager. But this Timo Schulz has done an amazing job at St. Pauli. And I'm actually happy to see what can happen with them this season. Because as mentioned, obviously one win doesn't mean they're going to be one of the promoted sides. But just the way they won this game was very, very convincing, as mentioned before.
Yeah, it was definitely the way they went about the process of dissecting a relatively new back four. You know, Haukvall is the consistent one along with Neumann, but, you know, Kirkuskov got the start at left back, and it wasn't as if, like, Kiel were terrible defensively. It was just that it was the way they... So, I mean, there's not much you can do with the first goal. And I feel like their biggest problem was going forward. You know, Jan Vieter Arp was pretty anonymous, but when you don't really get any sort of service for 62 minutes before coming off, you could understand where things are breaking down. Much like a couple of teams here, they played a few of their new signings. Erash was in as well as Skripski. You know, Arp, as we mentioned. It's a new outlook going forward. The constant really is the likes of Finn Bartels, Reza, you know, Alexander Muling still in central midfield. It will take time for that cohesion to come in from, you know, that transition from defense to attack and keeping that sort of offensive shape. So I would give it time. I'm not writing them off. They play Schalke, of course, in their home opener. A lot of eyes will be on that game because neither team will want to start the season with two defeats in a row. Let's take our first break. And on the other side, we are going to head to Rostock when Hansa took on Karlsruhe. Rostock's return to the Zweite Bundesliga would have been a happier one had they been able to get a point in their home opener against Karlsruhe. Unfortunately, they were unable to do that, and they fell victim to a 3-1 defeat, although it could have been very, very different as the Ostia Stadion was raucous when they thought John Verhoek had opened the scoring midway through the first half. However, Strilly Mumba was to have impeded goalkeeper Marius Gersbeck, and that goal was chalked off, and in a total gut blow, Karlsruhe scored twice in the final 3 minutes of the first half through Christoph Kobold and Philip Hoffmann. That really made it difficult for Rostock. But credit to the hosts, John Verhoek would get the goal that he was deserving. A nice little tap-in. But then Sebastian Jung, 10 minutes from time, putting the game beyond reasonable doubt. And the stadium was pumping. Rostock were feeling good about themselves. But Karlsruhe, able to overcome the quite intense atmosphere to get 3 points on the board in the first week.
Yeah, let's just say they were very effective in this game, especially in the first half. I do feel sorry about Rostock a bit. They started off very well. I do think, and there were some discussions about this, I do think the goal was correctly not given. Because, yeah, basically, as you've mentioned, Strilly Mumba really... Marius Gersbeck can't really see anything. He sees the ball very, very late. And so it's okay, in my opinion. But I mean, they had to wait for their second goal to be given a couple of minutes as well, because it wasn't really clear whether... I'm not sure if it was Verhoek, but one of the Rostock players was offside. So yeah, Rostock's first... I don't know, contact with the VAR was probably not the best one. Actually, funny story, if you talk about Sebastian Jung, it was his first goal since scoring, I think, for Eintracht Frankfurt in 2013. So, yeah, could say double celebration for him in that matter. Yeah, for Rostock, I mean, they, especially going forward, I think they had very good situations, very good scenes in this game. But what I do worry about a bit is their defense. The first and the second goal. I mean, the third goal at that stage, they had to take more risks. So counterattacks were happening on a regular basis. But in the first half, I mean, that the first goal by Kobold, the defense doesn't look good. There is no sense of stability there. So, yeah, that wasn't... Not as good as you might think you want to start into your season. And then that second goal, it had some kind of slapstick that shouldn't happen to you in the second league. It shouldn't happen to you in any league, but especially if you're in one of the two best leagues and in your country, this you will always have players at your opponents that can use mistakes like that. They should really take a look that this won't happen again. But yeah, we have to see how they will perform away from home as well without their fans. But I do think their fans can be an important factor throughout the season, an important impact. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something we won't mention to Stuttgart fans because they've had nightmares going to Rostock recently. But yeah, that the second goal, I mean... It's quite ironic because Rostock almost tried everything in their power to give the goal up, and Karlsruhe did everything to not score, and eventually they did. But plenty of optimism. I think Rostock can take heart. Okay, the two goals they gave up before halftime were difficult to watch, but they showed great moments throughout, and some of their new signings. You know, I thought Behrens was quite solid in the game. You know, Rizzuto as well was playing in a different role, playing a bit more progressive up the field. We've seen him play as a left and a right back for Auer, but playing in that sort of that attacking right midfield role, he was quite dangerous going forward. But it's all about really getting the pieces together. We know how difficult it can be as a newly promoted side, and I think with a lot of teams we can you know, who didn't manage to win. You know, we'll give it, you have to kind of give it a few more match days before we get a realistic a you know feel of where they are. But I didn't think they were too bad. They were a bit unlucky. As Eva said, the goal was rightly taken away, even though you know Srili Mamba doesn't actually move from his original position. It is the right decision because in a way he is affecting the play. But yeah, 3 points for Karlsruhe, a well-deserved win for them. Let's move off to Heidenheim. And they hosted Paderborn, the first of our goalless games from the match day. It was Lukas Kwasniok's first game in charge of FC Paderborn. And it was a tough game, to say the least. I think Heidenheim had the better of it. But even with Leopold Zingler out due to injury, it was a very impressive performance by Yannick Huth, who pulled off a number of very good saves to keep Heidenheim out. And clean sheets are always good things, Eva. We know that managers will harp on about how important it is to avoid conceding goals. But maybe a bit of concern with the way Paderborn were moving forward. They didn't look particularly confident going into attack, and it definitely showed that they had a hard time breaking down Heidenheim's defense.
Yeah, I would agree, but also would add that, I mean, if you bring in a new manager but also have a lot of changes in the team, maybe it's important to focus on one half of the team first. And I really had the feeling that Kwasniok really focused on the defense first, and they did good work. You've mentioned Yannick Huth, obviously, but also the rest of the defense was, in my opinion, very stable and very resilient throughout the game. I mean, Heidenheim had a couple of chances, but I mean, that can happen in every game. But especially Uwe Hünemeyer shows once again why he's such an important player for Paderborn in general, but also especially in defense. I mean, he had 9 clearances out of 27 that Paderborn had. And there were one or two scenes where he really nicely cleared the ball away from Heidenheim's players. So that was good. But obviously, for both teams, they have to intensify their offensive actions. For Heidenheim, when they attempted shots on goal or shots on target, it was always very hasty. I don't know if that makes sense, but you had the feeling they just wanted to score, and that was all, but not with a lot of finesse or something like that. So they have to work on that as well. And I mean, they're one of the few teams that didn't have a complete squad change or manager change or something like that. So that's probably the advantage throughout the season, but they have to use that a bit more. The first half was, in my opinion, rather horrible to watch. The second half was a bit better, but still, as mentioned, both teams have to improve.
Yep, absolutely. But luckily, this is the first match day, so there is plenty of time to do so. I do agree, the fact that Heidenheim, you know, they didn't really think through a lot of their attacks towards, you know, once they got into the final third. And, you know, of course, they made some pretty good attempts on Yannick Huth's goal, but they also took a lot of shots that were low quality. And what you saw is a Heidenheim team that was unable to really break down a pretty resolute Paderborn defense. Both sides will take the point and move on to next week. And that leaves us to our final Group 2 game, and that was Sandhausen hosting Fortuna Düsseldorf. Christian Preuss's first game in charge of Düsseldorf was a success. A 2-0 success, thanks to the goals of Reuven Hennings, who scored a brace within a 6-minute period to give Fortuna all 3 points. It was they didn't have it their own way in the first half. You know, Sandhausen had a number of high quality chances, but Düsseldorf very much held their own and made it count midway through, early in that second half, to put Sandhausen away. And plenty of positives for both sides, it has to be said. But I guess there would be some frustration from Sandhausen, being that they just weren't able to break down Düsseldorf's defense.
Yeah, I mean, and when we talked about St. Pauli Kiel, and I said there were teams that won this weekend, but they didn't really convince me. Düsseldorf is definitely in that mix, because they won that and they deserve to win this in the end, because first of all, they scored to go to more than Sandhausen did. But, I mean, the 1-0, especially when Szymanski came on, he was, in my opinion, although Henning scored the two goals, he was one of the players to look out for in the couple of matches that are following throughout the season. He had a good impact on that Düsseldorf team. But in general, I didn't, like, I think they could do more. For Sandhausen, there are two players I want to point out here, Gaudino and Okorochi. I thought they had good scenes. And I mean, obviously, this team is, we spoke about that in our preview, it's really one who needs time. They were put together very early into that preseason kind of month and weeks, but still, obviously, if you have so many changes in the team, this takes time. But you could already see that there might be two or three players you can really, being pointed out. And for me, Gaudino, Okorochi were two of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know Okorochi had a tricky season at Paderborn last season, and Gaudino, is a former Bayern Academy player, and you know has you know cut his teeth in Switzerland over the past few seasons. And yeah, I think they played with good energy. They're attacking three of Testrot, Suku, and Gaudini again. And this is the thing we'll probably harp on for the first few weeks. It'll take time, and you know, you've got to allow these players to build chemistry and gel into the systems that the managers want to pursue. But, you know, because we live in the here and now, and it is, of course, a results-driven business, you know, in the end, it doesn't really matter in the short term if you know, they're kind of building if they don't get results at the same time. So, tough game in the end for Sandhausen to swallow. They gave away those goals early in the second half, and they couldn't find a way to recover. You mentioned Eva Niklas Szymanski. He was very, very impressive once he came on for Felix Klaus in halftime, and the ex-Saarbrücken player made an impression to help Düsseldorf get all 3 points. Let's take our final break, and on the other side, we'll discuss the final three games from match day one, and we are going to start with Nürnberg's clash against Auer. Auer dawned in a new era in match day one with Alexei Shpilevsky in charge of his first game when they travelled to Nürnberg on match day one. It ended goalless. It was a hard slog to watch. It was one of frustration, lack of clinicalness going forward, and the goalkeeper's not having to do a whole lot in a game that really, really, really was a slugfest. It's fair to say that Nürnberg had the better of what limited chances there were throughout the game. And for any Nürnberg fan who was in the stadium or endured the 90 minutes plus, would have been extraordinarily frustrated with the inability to take advantage of our defense that was relatively vulnerable throughout this game. And even watching the highlights can give anyone a bit of a migraine of how difficult this game was to view. But let's take it a bit positive here. What was the positives for either side in the 0-0 result?
Well, I mean, Nürnberg was good until they needed to take a shot on goal. They had a couple of good scenes there. You could see what they could do, but that's all the positive I'm going to say here. For Auer, I thought they had a good pressing and good transitional play. But similar to Nürnberg, as soon as they came to the box, kinda, and had to take a shot, that was mainly disappointing. So yeah, the game was okay in midfield. Everywhere else, not so much.
Yeah, it was so frustrating. I think even as a neutral watching this game, seeing Denis Bukowski get in unbelievably good positions and then not shooting or choosing the wrong moment to shoot. And I know he wasn't just the only one. It's the one that first came to my mind. And yeah, I think the good thing for Nürnberg and for Robert Klaus is the guys he had on the bench. He brought on Robin Huck in particular, made a relative impact. He was very lively when he came on. They still seem very reliant on Tom Kraus. They definitely missed him when he eventually came off. But I think overall it wasn't a terrible performance. The new defensive duo of Asker Sorensen and Florian Hübner was pretty strong. They looked very resolute and quite comfortable against an Auer side that never looked really likely of entering its attacking 18-yard box. And it was a pretty modest day for, I guess, Christian Mattania, who had very, very little to do. I guess positive for Auer was Dirk Carlson, the Luxembourg defender, who somehow managed to start the game with a bandage around his head, which is something you'd see in the AFL. But he was impressive in that back three for Spilevski. But yeah, they'll take the points. I think Auer would have been more satisfied with the result than Nürnberg, who probably should have won this game. Let's make the move to Dresden, and Dynamo hosted Ingolstadt, two sides who obviously were very familiar with each other last season in the Dritte Liga, and it was the hosts who enjoyed a scintillating performance. It was 3-0 the final score, and it could have easily been more. Christoph Daffner, who Freiburg fans will be very familiar with, he was also at Erzgebirge Aue at a period of time, he scored a brace in this game, and Heinz Morschel also got on the score sheet. It was a very impressive display from Dresden, and what a return to the Zweite Bundesliga.
Yeah, and I mean, I was really impressed by that Dresden performance, especially Christoph Daferner. He was really the man of the match, and maybe even the man of the match day, because he did not only score two goals, but actually was giving the assist to the Merscher goal. Besides that, obviously really good for them to start off this new season with a clean sheet. Part of that was Tim Knipping in the defense for Dynamo Dresden. He's obviously very familiar with the Zweite Bundesliga. He has played for Regensburg for a year, but he mainly we know him from SV Sandhausen. Actually, he's been there for 3 years, I think. And he was already a huge impact for them in the Dritte Liga, and in my opinion, he's shown really, really good work in this team, in this first game as well. He had some situations up front as well. So yeah, I really like that Dynamo side, and for Ingolstadt, yeah, they offered very little to nothing. And yeah, for them, it can be, those are the games they need to win, obviously, against the sides that got promoted with them, and so they have to improve in at least those kind of games. Otherwise, it can be a bit difficult to actually pick up points.
Yeah, it was a tough day to be a striker wearing the away shirts, the white Ingolstadt shirt that they did. And yeah, they just couldn't get anything going offensively, and the limited chances they had. I think they managed one shot on goal on target for the entirety of the game. You know, Kevin Brohl had a bit of a nice, easy afternoon in Dresden. And yeah, Dresden had some very positive performances. You look at Vlaka Demos as well. And I did like the inauguration of Barillo and Königsdorfer, both with that kind of attacking three, along with Daffner up top. There's some good signs with the way that Alexander Schmidt had them going forward, but also very competent defensively. We know, much like Rostock and a number of teams in this league, they're another side that has a very distinct home field advantage. It is one of the tougher places to play, and they certainly feed off the crowd. And we saw once they scored the opening goal, there was no stopping Dresden. For Ingolstadt, tough. it was a very tough performance, but they'll get some midfield reinforcement. They have signed Nassim Boujaleb from Schalke. He joins on loan for the season. He also extended his contract at Schalke until the end of 2023. So he will give them some additional midfield depth, and we will see how much game time he can fit at Ingolstadt this season. And that leads to our final game of the match day. It's Darmstadt and Jahn Regensburg. A lot of hopes in Darmstadt that they can build on the season they had at the end of last. But they were missing quite a lot of players. And they really struggled. They fell 2-0 to Jahn Regensburg. Sarpreet Singh, the New Zealand international on loan from Bayern Munich, opened the scoring. And then Benedikt Gimba with an incredible goal just after the hour mark to seal a Regensburg win. It wasn't the most prettiest game, it has to be said. There were moments here and there where the game looked like it was about to break open. But it was a tough outing for Darmstadt, who were very much shorthanded in this game.
Yeah, but I didn't think they didn't begin that bad until the Singh goal. Yeah, but I mean, in general, it's understandable with the squad they had to put on the pitch that they didn't play the best football that could. On the other hand, I thought Regensburg could have done a bit better as well. I would say Sarit Singh was their best, the best player in this game. But in general, yeah. Kind of stupid defensive mistakes by Darmstadt. I think Lasse Sobich for the first one. And then they kind of expected that the referee would blow the whistle because one of the Darmstadt players was hitting the head by a ball. I mean, in the end, I think Darmstadt can be a bit happy that Regensburg didn't put all of their power on the pitch, because then it could have been very bad for them. But on the other hand, it's a bit disappointing that Regensburg didn't do more. For them, good picking up points here for Darmstadt. Hopefully they can return to being a full squad again very soon. And still, all the best wishes for the players that are in quarantine and that were positively tested.
Yes, absolutely. The most important thing in these situations is the safety and health of the individuals who are giving us football for the many, many weeks of the season. One player I thought was quite solid in the game was Morten Behrens. He was at Magdeburg last season. He had a pretty solid outing in place of Marcel Schuhen. It was a tough opening match result for Darmstadt. But fortunately, as we've said throughout this podcast, there are 33 more match days to go. And that concludes our match day one review from the 2021-2022 Zweite Bundesliga season. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Thank you, Eva, of course, for putting up with me for the last hour or so. We will be back next week to discuss all the action from another exciting weekend of Zweite Bundesliga football. Until then, stay safe, and I'll see you next time.